Impress your friends, amaze your coworkers, make your family proud. Here's what you need to know.
I'ma tell you what you need to know. I'ma tell you what you need to hear. Cause the truth will be too much. Yeah, the truth will be.
Welcome back into the program. Just after five on the last day you're going to hear from me this year. I'm not coming to work tomorrow. That's it.
That's it.
I'm done. I'm not coming to work. I'm Todd Lebo in for Sorin Petro. He's off this week. Brad Porter will be in tomorrow with Jed and Curtis, taking you up through all the good times on New Year's Eve. And
what program picks? We'll have Danny Unleashed.
Danny Unleashed.
Blair Kirkhoff.
We will have Kevin Harlan and Adam Teicher, and we will wrap up probably with a kicker talking about how fun 2020 was, right? Yeah. It was a great year for everybody.
Rock it out. Sounds like a full show tomorrow. That'll be a lot of fun. On New Year's Day, we have a triple header of bowl games, Peach Bowl, Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl for you. So we'll have all that. And then, of course, coming up on Saturday, we got some bowl games too. Well, no, we got Kansas basketball. Big Kansas-Texas game, 11 bells on Saturday. We've got that going, and this is bowl action as well there. And then, of course, NFL Sunday will be rocking and rolling. We'll get you ready for the Chiefs game and have Chiefs postgame with all the scenarios and different things that are happening in the fallout from there. I will not hate you if you are just watching football on that day.
But we recommend that you listen.
Yes. Please listen to the Central Bank of the Midwest pregame show with Curtis Seabolt, Sorin Petro, and Mark Beauregard.
Yes.
Beauregard. I'm going to call him Beauregard from now on.
Beauregard.
Well, I declare. Tell me what's going on today.
How did Beauregard just become Foghorn Leghorn?
He just did.
I'll say you bother me.
With Beauregard for human life.
Whoa, hello.
Dwayne Beauregard? No, too far?
I don't think we've taken it far enough.
Speaking of funny, Sam McDowell, who is always one of the funnier people, in a very dry way, responded to our Frank Opinions question about the fight between Jesse Newell and Soishi Tirana and said, "You had me on for an hour yesterday and we didn't debate this?"
That's an embarrassment on our part.
You're right, Sam.
You know, Sam McDowell, well-known pit fighter out in eastern Jackson County as a young man.
He does it all while
super heavyweight,
without his pulse rate getting over 40.
He was he's dropped a few pounds. He was a super heavyweight wrestler, I think, at 6A in Missouri. I think, I'm not 100% sure, but I think that's the weight he wrestled at. I know he's a state champion either way. One of those things. He was. It is now time to tell you what you need. Totally serious. What you need to know, the Chiefs are not going to start Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. Okay? Calmer heads have prevailed. What? I don't think anyone ever thought they were going to.
Don't they want to win?
But Chad Henne is going to get the start. And Andy Reid sort of made that announcement today. Actually, he said some guys won't be starting and then had to be asked later, so what are you doing at quarterback? And he finally said, oh, it'll be Chad Henne.
I'll get that to you later.
Likely, Matt Moore will be the backup, and they'll probably activate him. The practice squad's wild this year. They got veterans on the practice squad. It's crazy. So they'll activate him, and then Patrick won't play at all. Some other veterans won't play as well. But Andy Reid was asked if this was kind of a reward for Chad Henne to get a start like this, you know, because he didn't really get to be a part of this thing last year because he got hurt, and he's been a good player for them and done all the things he's supposed to do as a backup.
Yeah, well, listen, I think he's excited. I always tell him, act like you're 20, man. You know, try to remember those days and feel it. So he's all in. He's excited. So great opportunity for him. I mean, these guys love to play the game. That's a neat part about it. It's not like guys are ducking out of playing. They all want to get in there and go. But it's a decision that I had to make there. But Chad's very excited.
That's true. I mean, I promise you, if you said, "Hey, Tyreek, would you like to play 80 snaps this game?" He would say yes.
Yeah.
Because they got a whole lot of guys on this team who love to play.
Yep.
They absolutely love to play. The smart thing is to not have them play though, because there's no reason to, you know, subject anyone to possible injury and
especially
all that stuff.
Hill clearly has a hammy that's...
Yeah, take some time, you know. And Travis Kelce left the game for a smidge the other day, you know. Take some time, get your treatment, be healthy, and get yourself ready.
Got a lot of fancy cars in that garage.
Yeah.
You know.
No reason to take them out on a slick day,
yes.
You know. Let's not do that. Okay, so earlier we were talking about the scenario deal that the NFL has put out with all the little different things. I think that might be what Brett Veach showed Andy Reid, that he said, I don't know what you're talking about, man, because they don't know who they're going to play. The Chiefs are the one seed. They're going to play the winner of the 4-5 game, correct? But we don't know who the 4 and the 5 are yet because there's all kinds of crazy fun things that are going to happen on Sunday. So here's Andy Reid talked about who they might be playing in the divisional playoffs in a couple weeks.
Yeah, Veach, Brett showed me a chart, and I looked at it for about 2 seconds, and I said, you figure it out, man. I mean, it looked complicated, so I didn't want to deal with it at that moment. So I don't think – I think we've got it narrowed down to what we think, but there are a bunch of variables there. So we've got people, though, that look at all the different teams and we'll be ready for whatever, you know, whatever and whoever it ends up being. But I know there are a lot of scenarios. This is great for the NFL, isn't it? I mean, it's a tribute to them. They, a few years back, they strived for parity amongst the teams, and here we sit. I mean, it's crazy. So kind of be fun to watch how it plays out.
And trust me, Andy Reid could figure out this.
Yeah.
Spreadsheet.
What do you think? Who do you think is going to be in the 4-5 game?
I think it's going to be probably Tennessee and Baltimore.
Tennessee and Baltimore?
Yeah.
That's two of the teams that people don't want to play.
Hang on. Let me go. Baltimore, see, Baltimore's got at Cincy. Miami's got at Buffalo. I think Baltimore is going to leap over Miami. Tennessee-Baltimore.
Tennessee-Baltimore. Hey,
and I'm not afraid,
Jed,
of
write that
one of
down.
Those teams.
Put that on your chart. Send it over to Veach. Have him give that to Big Red. See what he thinks about it.
Faxing it over now.
Use the fax. That's the most efficient way to do it for sure. Don't scan an email. Don't do that. Just fax it. All right, so I've said, you know, yesterday and today, I don't particularly care about this game, but it's going to be real football. You know, these guys are going to go out there and get a chance to play. The young players, for them, this may as well be their Super Bowl. You know, we sit there and watch the preseason games, and some guys will never play in a real game. So going out there and playing in a preseason game was like, hey, man, I was a professional football player. I know it was the fifth drive of the fourth quarter of the fourth preseason game, but I got to suit it up in an NFL stadium.
Yeah.
Well, these guys now, some of these guys, they won't get many reps or haven't gotten many reps in regular season games. This is a real live football game. As much as I've poo-pooed it for 2 days, it is a real live football game. And Andy Reid says that, you know, these young guys will get a chance to go play. And the question I asked him was kind of about, like, there's a danger factor in going out there trying to half-ass it in a football game. But he says these young guys are going to love this.
Well, I mean, you know, it's a contact sport. So, yeah, there's danger. I mean, there's danger in practice. There's danger in the games and all that. But I try to look at the positive part of it. And I just think it's what a great opportunity. These guys have busted their tail in a lot of cases just to have an opportunity to play. And if they can't get it during a regular game that we've had up to week 15 here. Well, I mean, my gosh, I mean, here you go. And let's go get some experience and try to take the positive road with it and not think too much of the other part.
You can't go out there and kind of play football. You have to go play, right? So they're gonna go try to get that done. Let's hear one from Chad Henne, the veteran, the 35-year-old, when asked about what he thought of Andy Reid telling him to go out there and play like he's 20.
I mean, it's cool. I mean, it's the opportunity. Anytime you get an opportunity to go out there and be the starter in the NFL, it's, you know, you take it, you don't take it for granted. And, you know, play like you're 20. It's just go out there and be you, like I said. I mean, you know, obviously I'm not 20. I'm 35 right now. But, you know, I can still move a little bit and hopefully, you know, get out there and show some things that I have.
Yeah, and to make it in the NFL, I think we all have an understanding of just how much of a competitor you have to be. Given it's been so long, is there this intrinsic feeling of, you know, how can I still do this? Can I still do this? That you want to prove it to yourself?
Sure, deep down and always. I mean, when we go out there and practice against the defense each and every day, I mean, I try to, you know, give them the best look each and every week. And, you know, fit, you know, throws in there that, you know, are tight throws and that you normally do in the game that you have to make. So I think, you know, being prepared all the way through this year with the defense and, you know, giving them a look, hopefully it will prepare me for the Sunday.
That's Chad Henne. He will get the start for the Chiefs when they face the Chargers at 3:25 on Sunday at Arrowhead. The Chiefs game doesn't matter, right? We only have four games that we feel don't matter in any way. The Chiefs game and the Broncos-Raiders game, also the Vikings game against Detroit, doesn't matter. Dalvin Cook is not going to be playing in that game due to, according to league sources, the death of his father. So if you're in a Week 17 fantasy football game, that one really doesn't matter anymore on that one. So Dalvin Cook is sadly going to miss that game. The Bills have announced that Governor Andrew Cuomo has said they have had this rule that you're not having fans at anything happening in New York. They have lifted that now, and this will be for the playoff game mm-hmm. that they have. So this will be in 2021. They're going to allow for 6,700 fans, and the fans will have to register a negative COVID test. And they get a lot of protocols in place, but the Bills have had this amazing season in front of nobody. They haven't even had the little 200 people who are your friends and family in there. That place is nothing. And they, you know, Monday night, that it was so weird sounding and looking, the fake noise they had pumped in there. I like it when there's at least 200 or 300 real people in there making some noise. Buffalo has been deathly weird, silent looking and having that weird sound, but they're going to have 6,700 fans, and I'm guessing those will be pricey. I mean, for the Buffalo fans, secondary market ought to go crazy on that because they haven't won this division since 1995. So they will. That's for their playoff game, not any game this week. The Browns have closed their facility today. This is great news for them. They didn't have any wide receivers last week. Now they've got a must-win game against Pittsburgh. No news yet on if anyone's going to have to miss the game, but they closed their facility. That's precautionary. A lot of folks do that. And the latest is that Kyler Murray looks like he's going to be able to play in Arizona's game against the Rams. The Rams are playing Jim Wolford, or who is it? Tom?
John Wolford.
John Wolford is playing for the Rams.
They're playing Jim Stafford.
Jim Stafford, Cal Patty.
He's going to come out and play.
play
that's spiders and snakes.
I don't like spiders and snakes, but that ain't what it takes to love me. Did you see Jim Stafford perform at the American Royal when you were on a field trip in fifth grade? Oh, I did.
No.
Oh, I did.
Which is odd because he talks about, has a song called Wildwood Weed, which I think would be something up your alley.
Yeah.
I don't want bad strains. Wildwood sounds like it's ditchweed.
College football playoff is Friday right here on Sports Radio 810. Clemson offensive coordinator Tony Elliott will miss Clemson's game because of COVID protocols. So we'll see. And should any situation arise where any of the top four teams can't compete, the college football playoff has January makeup dates set. So they will get those things done. And on the sheet that Jake printed out for us today is
Jake did it.
Jed did it.
Goody came back in. I thought he was done until New Year's.
He's done that. Jed, I've done so many shows. It's always a Jake or a Jed handing me pieces of paper.
What about a Shane?
No, he doesn't hand me papers. I don't remember having to host that whole show. I'm just on it. National Bacon Day. Celebrate this tonight,
bacon.
Curtis.
I
somehow I don't do a lot of Twitter backs and forths and things, but there was a thing going on last night with Nick Leckie and Tim Fitzgerald about Whataburger and Brahms and different things like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited that Whataburger
is
coming to town.
Boy.
Well, the correct answer to everything is High Boy, but that's different.
Winston's really, but
no. High Boy. Nope. So I love Brahms. Brahms is, that are never going to be up here. The closest one's in Emporia. We all know this, but I love Brahms. But Brahms is like a little grocery store and a place to get a tasty burger, crinkle fries, and a shake and all this stuff. And I sent back to someone, not only is the food good, it's also a freaking grocery store. And, you know, someone sent back something about a poopy diaper at a Brahms or something. Whatever. I don't know. All I know is this. You can go into Brahms and you can buy a combo, right? Mm-hmm. Get your tasty burger and fries and maybe a shake or a sundae because it's all their milk, their meat, all that stuff. They grow it. It's all their deal. That's why they don't have one up here. They won't drive the trucks further than half a day so you can get there and back for the delivery guys. And you can go in there and buy yourself a pound of damn bacon on your way home because it's a grocery store, too. It's National Bacon Day is my point.
I want an entire tray of bacon from Big Biscuit.
Maybe. Well, they're closed. They're not open at night. You missed that, Curtis. You should have gone there on the way this morning. You got your good sense. I'm sure
there.
That was tasty.
Oh, so good.
But you could have had a
tray. I'm
going to
go there
bacon.
And park in front of their building until they open.
You know, that's one of the bad things about the COVID. Mm. We didn't get our Big Biscuit breakfast, holiday breakfast around here.
That's the greatest. And I didn't get to fill a gallon freezer bag with bacon and sausage.
That's the pro tip I told Curtis probably like 5 years ago. Dude, there's always leftovers. Bring in containers. Take this stuff home. They're not taking it back and trying to serve it to someone. That's our food. We always had the Ziploc containers to do that.
Great gravy.
Yeah. So National Bacon Day. Celebrate safely. That's what you should say on that? No?
No, just go for it, dude. It's New Year's. You get your vices out. You start living healthy.
Drive to Emporia and get some Brahms bacon. I'll bet it's good. Whataburger ain't selling bacon in there, are they? No. I know Patrick Mahomes wants Whataburger. It's fine. Whataburger's fine. Only Whataburger I've been to the Dallas airport. It's fine. But it ain't no Brahms.
The program with Soren Petro.
If you disappear forever, it wouldn't make any difference.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. He's a pastor who likes the passing game, an attorney who enjoys play action more than class action, and he loves to watch Chiefs game tape for hours and hours and hours. He's Seth Kaiser of The Athletic on the program.
Welcome back into the program. Todd Lebo in for Soren Petro. We've got, 37 more minutes of good times for you tonight before we turn it over to crunch time. With Francis Reed Bowl and Timothy, what's Timothy Grunhardt's middle name?
It's actually Mothy.
John, probably.
It's Mothy.
Yeah,
Mothy.
Tim Mothy.
T Mothy Grunhardt for crunch time, and then we will have. I'm guessing it's Paul or Michael. I don't know. And then we've got the most important bowl of all the bowls, the Cotton Bowl.
Timothy Gerard Grunhardt. No,
that's made up. That's Wikipedia. Is that real? It's Gerard Depardieu?
That's got to be a family name.
You don't think? Right now, we've got Seth Kaiser on the line from The Athletic. Seth, what's your middle name?
Steven with a P-H.
I'd never trust anyone with a P-H.
That's kind of weird.
it's almost like Stefan or Stefan. But, yeah, they apparently didn't like V's. I don't know.
SSK. Hey, here's a funny little inside thing for you. Every time I go try to get like bits and pieces of your interviews and stuff like that to put on our Chiefs tailgate show and stuff, almost every time Jed saves this file, he spells your last name wrong. It's late in the day, and he ends up like, it's like K-E-Y-S-R-O, and he like gets the S-R-O out of order, and it ends up being like Key S-R-O, Kisro. So... we're going to call you Seth Kestro from now.
I think I might like that better, honestly. That's got a real, I don't know, it's got a vibe to it that I kind of like, Kestro.
Yeah.
Yeah, Seth Kestro of The Athletic joins us now in the T-Mobile guest line.
Yeah, if you go look through the program, it's called the Petro folder on our S drive. You guys all know what we're talking about. And you go look on the Wednesdays, almost every time, spelled wrong.
Tim Grunhardt confirms to me via text that, it's Gerard.
Gerard. Well, Frank and Jerry doing a show.
Mine is Lee, which is boring.
KLC Bolt. But
my dad's middle name was Lee, Jerry Lee, and I had Gary Lee and Brian Lee ahead of me. As a kid, I thought the middle name was like the last name. Yeah. It was all the same. And the first neighbors we knew were the Langtons when I was about 4. I found it was Willis Allen Langton and David Ray Langton.
Well, you have different middle names? What are you guys?
And I was like,
who are you people?
What is going on? Or David Wayne and Jerry Ray. I was like, I was like, they have different middle names.
Who are these people?
That's weird.
And that's when your parents said, we're the oddballs.
Yes. Yeah, no, son.
That's us. You know, Jed's name's not Jed. He's John.
Yes, sir.
What's your middle name, John?
David.
JD.
Yep.
What's up, JD?
I didn't know any of this.
Actually, his middle name is Marshall. His last name is Hendricks. His name is John Marshall Hendricks.
It was funny, Seth, back in the day, there was an AP writer here whose name was John Marshall. And I'm in charge of getting credentials and things like that from teams. And this was, quite a while ago. And the Royals had just started putting photographs on their season passes. So, and this was, you had to upload them or it was some weird thing. It wasn't nearly as easy now. And I had sent Jed's picture, which I'm sure was really good because he always gives me a really good picture to take. And I went out and I picked up all of this stack of like 15 season credentials, and I'm looking through them to make sure they're all right. And they give me John Marshall because they have to have your real name.
Right.
And it's not Jed's picture. It's the actual John Marshall who worked for the AP. I said, this is not the right Jed. This is a different deal. You have to go find that picture of the really crazy looking guy and put him on there. And they did that.
His real first name is Jedro.
Jedro. My middle name is William. T-Bill. But see, Todd's not short for anything. Like Curtis always calls me Todrick or something. It's not short. Seth's just Seth, right? It's not short for
anything. Yeah. There's really no good way to extend the name Seth without sounding insulting.
Sathaniel. you could be Sathaniel.
Yeah. Sathaniel. You finally figured one out. I'd answer to Sathaniel.
Sure you would. You know what? You'd have another kid, Seth. Why don't you call him Sathaniel?
Yeah. Sathaniel Keithrow.
Yeah.
Apparently the direction I'm going.
It'd be good. Is your name Jonathan or John, Jed?
It's just John. I was named after my uncle Jack, John Marshall, and he went by Jack. My parents liked the name Jed for a nickname to John, so John David after my uncle and my dad.
Boom.
They drank a lot. They came up with Jed. I don't know.
John David, J-E-J-D. There you go.
I bet Sathaniel Keithrow would carry more weight in a court. Room.
Oh,
or,
yeah.
Or even Sethador.
Sethador, I don't think that works.
For the defense.
No, Sethador, I've heard. Sathaniel. You know, no, Sathaniel Keithrow. I feel like, you know, if you said, you know, Sathaniel Keithrow appearing on behalf of petitioner, Your Honor, that rolls off the tongue a little more there. Yeah. It sounds like there's some weight to it.
Yeah,
the opposition Sathaniel just says, Keithrow, forget it. Esquire. We're not beating Sathaniel Keithrow.
Put Esquire on the end, and you're good. You are a JD, right? Yeah.
I have recently, people have been talking a lot about, you know, whether or not you should call a coach by his first name or coach. And I've informed some people in the KC media, like Sam and a few others, that I expect to be referred to as Seth Kaiser Juris Doctor from here on out.
100%.
Don't call yourself
your title.
Dr. Seth, though.
Well, you don't go into court calling the guy Jerry on the bench either. You call him Your Honor, right?
I do. I either say Your Honor or Judge. Absolutely. Yeah. Of course, they're in the unique position. They can throw me in jail if they don't like me. So that's a tough one.
But
it's easy to call someone coach if they're coach. Baseball is the one where, you know, manager, people will just say skip.
And that's the tough one. Like now in soccer, it's kind of like, you know, are you the technical director?
Anymore,
the coach,
they just say,
manager?
You know, if he's been around long enough, you just say, Peter, what do you think?
Yeah. These are the really important things that we have to tackle in 2020.
I think so.
This is the big stuff.
2021.
Do people call Andy Reid coach, or do they call him Andy?
On the Zoom, it's Andy. But, we haven't been in person in so long. When you would sit out there, there'd be, hey, coach, there'd be stuff like that. But he's very kind of laid back, and he's been here long enough now.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably a lot of Andy on there. It's weird. It's different places.
The enemy gets EB a lot.
Yeah.
That's what people call him.
Yeah. Just don't say Pat. You better say Patrick. We'll get someone to get mad at you.
Mom will get
Although
mad.
Although everybody on the team calls him Pat and all these things. Yeah. So, whatever. Seth Kaiser from The Athletic is our guest. And, Seth, finally today we got official word that Patrick Mahomes will not be playing in the game on Sunday. I think this is absolutely the right move. Do you think the Chiefs are going about this the right way as they head into this game that doesn't mean anything for this season?
Absolutely. I know there's people talking about, well, you know, they need to make sure they're not rusty. Go back and watch the week one of this season. They didn't have training. They didn't have a normal training camp. They didn't have any preseason games, and they hit the ground running on offense just fine. This is a veteran team with a veteran offense that's been in the system for years. They know what they're doing. They don't need to play a half of football to try to shake off, you know, what happened to them against Atlanta. They can watch film and see what happened against Atlanta and figure out ways to counteract that. This is absolutely the right move. You can't have, you can't have Mahomes turn his ankle, right? You can't have these things happen. If I'm them, and I know because we've got a weird year, they might have the opportunity to bring in even more people than normal. I'm sitting every single person that the NFL allows me to sit and still have an active roster. If they were allowed to forfeit the game, I would tell them to do that, and then they could just go on about their merry way. So I want them to sit as many people as possible, get healthy, mentally rest a little bit. It's been a long season, and get ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, Curtis and I talked about this yesterday. I think this is the least important Chiefs game in 10 years. I think it's just, since they had already had the division wrapped up in 2010, they played a game. But, on both sides. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, in 2013, Alex Smith didn't play. But San Diego were playing to make the playoffs, and they lost, right? In 2017, we all wanted to see Patrick Mahomes play. In 2012, they wanted the Chiefs to lose to get the overall number one pick. There was something for all of them. This game is freaking useless.
It's absolutely useless. I mean, barring, because I mean, even if they lose, they're going to be 14-2, and their playoff seeding is what's going to determine, you know, what they do in terms of a draft pick.
Right.
Right. And so it doesn't even affect that. It really doesn't mean anything, and except of course to the guys who normally would never get a chance at regular season action. And they get a chance to put a little something on their resume. So, like, or guys that are trying to prove something next year. This game means a lot to DeAndre Baker.
Sure.
It means a lot to a favorite of mine, Jody Fortson. Maybe I'll finally get to see him play during the regular season, and that'll make my week. So it means a lot to those guys because they get a chance to try to put something on their resume.
Yeah, it is for the diehards who love watching the fourth preseason game, which – diehards who love watching the fourth preseason game didn't get that this year, you know. So they're finally getting their fourth preseason game to go watch this. But I got to tell you, man, I'm going to probably have my eye on Red Zone more than I'm going to have it on this game. Because the day looks so good on Sunday. There's so much drama going on the rest of the league. And it's great as a Chiefs fan to be like, it's not my problem, not my drama. Just go watch the drama.
Yep. Absolutely. The points about this game, and these are things that you can learn reading about the game afterward, except for maybe like offensive line play or whatever. But that's what you guys read things that I write for.
That's right.
And so I can explain. See, I watch the games that don't matter, so you don't have to.
You're going to do all the work for us. I'll check that out on theathletic.com, and I can just enjoy my Red Zone. Right.
That's how I that's what we do. So it just means a lot, you know, individual players. You know, Darwin Thompson has kind of had a disappointing second season after showing some flashes early, then he had some fumble issues. This is, I think, going to be a big opportunity for him because they need Le'Veon Bell healthy. They really want Darrell Williams healthy because they don't know what's going to happen with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So it wouldn't surprise me to see Darwin Thompson get 20 touches. And what an opportunity for him, because imagine if he runs for 100 yards on those 20 touches. You can completely alter the narrative about yourself as a player with one game. Right?
Yeah.
And that's such a big deal, especially these guys. Some of the guys that are going to play, you know, I'm guessing, you know, Mecole Hardman will probably play because you start with receivers, you just end up having too many bodies. But like a guy like Byron Pringle, a guy like Garrett Dieter, you can alter the narrative about you in one game. And so I'm excited. I'm excited to see Willie Gay play in, you know, more significant snaps, get him continually acclimated. So that's the thing to get excited for. Again, it's for these sick people like me that really love the fourth preseason game and can really look at the individual battles as opposed to the team as a whole, because the outcome just doesn't matter.
Yeah, and you don't expect to lose anybody in a playoff game necessarily. And if you lose someone like a Tyreek Hill or a Travis Kelce or someone like that, your odds of winning are certainly going to go down. But it would be nice to know that if someone does go down, that you feel a little bit better about who is behind you, because sometimes that can be the difference. As close as most postseason games are, having someone that you know you can count on as that third or fourth guy would be big in the event that something does go wrong.
Absolutely, and especially, you know, guys that have flashed some talent or guys that they're looking at for the future, you know, to see what they can bring next season. You know, it's never too early to start thinking about the offseason and next season, at least for the GM. You know, the coaching staff, they're focused totally on this year. But, you know, for the GM, let's say, you know, DeAndre Baker goes out and looks like every bit like the first-round talent he was coming out. That's something to mark off for next year to kind of figure out what we're going to do. So there's a lot of fun reasons to watch. But let's be honest, there's so much chaos going on in the NFL, like you alluded to. It's there's so much going on. It's going to be hard enough to watch Red Zone because I have looked at the flow charts, and they are confusing as to who might make the playoffs and how.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I will note this. I looked this up the other day. The last time the Chiefs had a game kind of like this was 17, but Patrick Mahomes played. Anthony Sherman got 14 carries in that game. He has 27 in his career. He got over half his carries, and he got his only touchdown rush in that game.
He ran that inside zone pretty well.
Yes.
He showed some vision. He didn't look bad.
He didn't. But, I mean, that's what this game's for, something like that. And you know, but Anthony Sherman's not getting those carries this week. He didn't want to do that. They need to hit him if they got some play that's happening in the postseason. But let's talk about the rest of the conference first. You know, the Chiefs did their business, and it wasn't all that pretty, whatever. We've talked a lot about the Falcons game. you know, and how they, but they won. They've won seven of these games, and I've never really felt like they were going to lose any of them. They've won these games. The rest of the conference is still basically up in the air. I mean, the two seed's not handled. They're all these teams with 10 wins. They could have five 11-win teams, and one of them is going to miss the playoffs. It's going to be wild, and I know that you're not a red zone guy all the time, and you've seen it red zone this year, and it blew your mind. So this is going to be a lot for people to watch. People should go print out the scenarios and kind of follow along as they go, because it's going to be a lot of fun to watch this stuff on Sunday. Who do you think is going to be the odd man out on these teams that are at 10 right now, trying to get to 11? The Colts are the only one that needs to win and get help. Do you think they're the odd one out? I seem to think Cleveland's going to fail somehow, because I think it's what they do. I don't care who's playing at quarterback for the Steelers. Who do you think's the team that's going to get kind of screwed out of the thing this year?
I, you know, any time that there's an opportunity for the universe to snatch something away from Phil Rivers at the absolute last second, the universe seems to oblige. So I don't believe in curses, but man, that guy's career has been one long fourth quarter drive down four with you know, a minute left. And so that's where I think, obviously, because they're the one that needs to win and need some help. So, you know, statistically speaking, they're the most likely one. One thing I would note with that, they're also a team that I hope doesn't make it, because the particulars of their defense and their pass rush in particular, I don't really like that matchup for the Chiefs. I don't like a team with a good edge rusher and an elite interior rusher. I don't like that for the Chiefs. And so it would be nice. I think Chiefs fans should be rooting for them to stay away. Now, the rest of the Colts' defense doesn't scare me that much. But Buckner scares me against the Chiefs' offensive line. And so my hope is that the Colts end up the odd man out.
And the Chiefs' offensive line is probably not going to get a lot healthier than it's been. I mean, Mitchell Schwartz is not going to just come walking through the door miraculously or anything like that. He's toast. I mean, I don't think he's playing. And, you know, Eric Fisher, his back is better now, it looks like. He was not
healthy. He's
healthy
only by comparison to Mitchell Schwartz.
Right. And you know, it's going to be rest is going to be great for him. But, you know, LDT's not on this team. I mean, there's a lot of things that have happened on this offensive line, and that kind of goes to show you the magic of Patrick Mahomes, that he's had an MVP caliber year behind this bunch of guys. But their offensive line is going – they always say the game's won in the trenches. I don't think that's always the case with the Chiefs, because I think Patrick Mahomes makes a difference. But in the playoffs, they're going to face some defensive lines that can give them trouble, and their O-line may be – if there's something that's going to cost them, it could be that. That's going to be the thing that gets him, probably.
I think that's going to be one of the things that could potentially cost him. It was one of the problems that emerged against the Falcons. Now, a bunch of things went wrong against the Falcons that, I mean, would take too long to enumerate, really. Mahomes had the most off day I've ever seen. Reed really got out-coached, which is not something you see often, right? An opposing team anticipating his stuff and throwing stuff at him they weren't expecting. But one of the things that did happen was, you know, in addition to everything else, is that they just couldn't block Grady Jarrett. Mm-hmm. And that's a problem. Honestly, I've looked a lot at the line, and I like Austin Ryder. I like Andrew Wiley. I do think that both of their replacements, Daniel Kilgore and Stephen Wisniewski, if I can ever say his name, I think both of them have played better in pass pro when they've been in. And so it's kind of an interesting situation that they have there. And you're right. I mean, it can come back and bite you, because it just creates one more hurdle you have to overcome. So you can't have other things go wrong, too. You know, it doesn't matter quite as much if your offensive line is getting worked over a little bit if Mahomes is playing like a demigod. And he usually is. Or if Reed, you know, massively out-schemes the other coach. And he usually is. But, man, it's sure nice to check things off the list of things you don't necessarily have to worry about. And, you know, you don't want to be like, well, we really have to out-scheme them, because otherwise, you know, we'll have a compounding problem. So it's definitely a concern. It's one of the biggest reasons that the Chiefs, you know, they've got it's tough to repeat as champions.
Is it the situation like that you mentioned, you know, you have to out-scheme them if the line and plays better, and talked about the issues they have up there. Is that maybe why you run a play like they ran with Sammy Watkins trying to throw the ball to the quarterback on fourth and one, because that's a play you'd normally think you'd see when there's not quite as much up for grabs on a play. And when you have the weapons they have, it would seem that one team that wouldn't have to be crazy on fourth and one would be this team. Just, you know, how many different route trees can you block, you know, grow right there and just have Patrick Mahomes take the snap and throw the ball to somebody. But it's difficult to do when every time there's three guys in his face before he even gets to his setup.
And that's definitely one of the problems that they were having. And again, there were multiple problems. It wasn't just the line. You know, Mahomes struggled with his accuracy in a way he hasn't. Mm-hmm. Struggled with protection. Not every failure in protection was on the line.
Right.
The Falcons really brought – I actually have an article coming out tomorrow for The Athletic. The Falcons brought some really good blitzes that took Mahomes completely by surprise and took their protections completely by surprise in a way I have not seen happen this year. And maybe not even last year. Mahomes has gotten so good against the blitz, we're not used to seeing that happen. But when you compound it with tough offensive line pass protection, it does make you more inclined to try to do things cutesy. I do think, I kind of laughed when you brought up that play. I do think that was more, we're pretty sure we're going to win this game, so let's see if we can pick up an easy touchdown that'll get everyone fired up. Because if the safety doesn't play that perfectly in a really disciplined play, we might all be celebrating what a fun, you know, throwback touchdown it was to Mahomes. Or maybe, you know, he drops it and everyone can razz him all week. They just played it really well. And I think that was more of a we think we're going to win this game play than anything else. I think some of the other stuff you see, like the jet sweeps and some of the other things that you see on the goal line, I think that's more a testament to we don't think we can just line up and run you over.
Yeah, I think at about 2:30 on Sunday, Andy Reid, if he could have gone back in time, would have done something different there. I agree with you. They want to do these things because it's fun for the players. They like it.
Yeah.
It keeps them engaged in this, in this, you know, unprecedented season where they're kind of stuck at home and, you know, they're not going out and doing the things they normally do. They're letting them think these things up, and they let them play, and they let them do it. And I think guys like that about Andy Reid. But it almost, you know, cost him because they, you know, they were in a last-minute game.
Even once that play was called and snapped, I think that would have been one of those plays where, Sammy, you throw that ball if no one follows him. If he's by himself, you throw it.
Patrick said after the game,
I know,
go ahead and throw it. It's fourth down.
But that's,
who cares?
Your kids are going to say it's okay to go out and do whatever. That's the coach's job to say, if anyone's near him, do not throw him the ball. Because I don't think you want your quarterback
jumping
at the goal line with a defensive back. We might not get a first down, but we're not getting 15 hurt.
No.
Run it. Throw it to somebody else. Throw it away. Anything but that.
Seth Kizer from The Athletic is our guest. We're talking Chiefs. They got the Chargers on Sunday in a game that I will watch, but I'll rather read the video work from Seth Kizer sometime midweek next week to kind of figure it all out.
This game is like broccoli as a kid to you.
You have to finish this before you get to go play. But, Seth, let's talk about Patrick. And, you know, he mentioned after the game he made some bad reads. They did some things he wasn't ready for. And, you know, he didn't see – it didn't look like to me he saw the linebacker on the interception. He was just locked kind of in on Travis Kelce on the play where he threw the pick. He got fortunate, sort of, that number 91 dropped a pass. And it was going to be a tough play for a defensive player to make that catch. I think A.J. Terrell's probably, you know, sitting here kicking himself still. He's a first-round draft pick, and he dropped a pass
that won him the game.
So he got a little bit lucky, too. Right? And so on top of all that, but what he still did at the end, if you give him one more chance, he's going to beat you. And that's what he did.
Right. Yeah, and that's, I mean, you really, you know, you give Patrick Mahomes even one extra chance, and the odds of him failing twice in a row, that's what made the Atlanta game so weird. I don't know about you guys, but I kept waiting for the switch, right? Because we've seen before, the Chiefs kind of have a streaky offense, and that's just the nature of the NFL. It's impossible to be dominant on all 10 possessions, or you'd score 70 points. But, you know, we're used to seeing them kind of be able to turn it on when they really need to, and it took a while. Obviously Bob Sutton's over there in Atlanta, and Chiefs fans have some feelings about him. They called up a great game, and they did, you know, Mahomes talked about it afterwards. You can see it on film. They threw in some coverages that really anticipated some of Reed's favorite tendencies on various downs and distances. And they had guys dropping with simulated pressures. They had guys dropping right where the underneath receiver was going to be. They really did a great job, and that shouldn't be – that can't be stressed enough. So when people say, wow, you know, now the formula's out, well, anytime you show someone something that they're not prepared for, I think this is a great example for fans to see how important game planning is to an NFL game, because the talent is a lot more equivalent than people think at the NFL level. And the Falcons just had a great game plan, and it threw Mahomes off. And I think that's part of why he did struggle with accuracy. He should have thrown four picks on Sunday.
Yeah, he got away with it. But he gets away with a lot of them because he's Patrick Mahomes, and I'd rather have him than everyone else because I Absolutely. Like a guy who's great and things bounce his way at this point in his career. All right, Seth Kaiser from The Athletic, our guest. We're going to have our final four now, brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. Number one, Seth, do you have a Christmas present that you remember ever getting that's like your favorite, whether you're a kid or an adult?
You know, as an adult, I got a snowblower, and it's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
As a kid, I'll never forget when I first got that N64, and it was just the greatest present of all time. You know, being able to play GoldenEye, and just it was the best. I think I cried.
You lead me right into my second one. How much snow have you had so far up there?
You know, it's been a little more recently, so I think probably we got about 8 or 9 inches on the ground right now.
Yeah, good for you. Good for you. We don't have any, so leave us alone. All right, you got a big family. We all know that. What's family game night? You got a favorite board game you guys play as a family?
We love to play all kinds of games. Lately, we play Cards Against Humanity, the kid version. I'm told the adult version is
no. It's
like,
not for your kid. No. It's not for your family. No.
Yeah, even the kids version, we've got like 10 or 15 cards that we had to go through and throw out.
Yeah, you got
Daddy, what's up?
Yeah, the adult one. No, that's not for you, Seth. Cause you're too good of a man to have that. And finally,
yeah, like, the kids love it. It's basically Mad Libs, but a game.
Right. Absolutely. And finally, let's put you on the record right now. Are the Chiefs going to win the Super Bowl this year?
I think they will. Yeah, I think it's going to end up Mahomes versus Rodgers. And I think both of them, they're petty enough to be motivated by being matched up against one another. I think it's going to be an absolute barn burner, and I think the Chiefs pull it out.
Well, we have to wait through this week first. So before we get going, thank you, Seth, so much for your time. Enjoy New Year's, and you will talk to Seren again next week, okay?
All right, sounds great. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, there you go. Seth Kaiser from The Athletic right here on the program.
The Program with Seren Petro.
And now, here with an supply of misinformation is Mr. Know-It-All.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're almost done for the day, but there's just a few more things we'd like to share.
But there's still more.
Here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker of this whole thing.
On the Program.
But first, the good sense into the hour answer. Nikola Jokic set the new Nuggets career record for triple-doubles last night. Whose record did he break? I got this from our friend Adam Dravetta, champ, former intern. It is
I missed this.
Our favorite player, Fat Lever.
Fat Lever.
He said, finally, you can actually use him as a trivia question. So
there should be lots of ways
you, champ.
That you could use
Nuggets
him.
Hall of Famer.
Who wouldn't be a Nuggets Hall of Famer? You know, that's my team. I forgot to ask for a Nuggets T-shirt for Christmas. My wife was asking me this morning, what do you want for your birthday coming up in February? I'm going to tell him a Nuggets T-shirt.
Why don't you get a Nuggets hoodie? That'd be more practical in your office.
That is true. That's true. But I have a lot of hoodies. Maybe I should get one.
Well, I mean, if they're your team, end quote, you would want a couple of items of gear.
I really would. Lafayette Fat Lever. All right, it's time for the kicker. I don't really have anything to say on the kicker other than the fact that this is the last time I'm going to be in here on 2020. I do want to thank you guys for working so hard this year and working tomorrow while I'm not here. And everyone here at the station, this has been a crazy year, I mean, without a doubt. And it's super crazy last 9 months. Mm-hmm. And all the things that we have had to do to continue our business, keep it operating, keep our shows on the air, keep doing what we do for the people of Kansas City. The people who work here are amazing, and we worked really hard to get it done. Thank you to you guys for doing that.
Thank
and thank you for coming in tomorrow and working with Brad. I'm not going to be coming in. Doesn't mean I don't love you guys, though.
You'll be listening, though.
Totally listening.
Streaming online.
Unless my wife's listening. Got us out going to IKEA or something.
You listen on the app?
We could listen on the app.
Pop in those earbuds.
Listen in. Crunch Time is coming up next. with Timothy Gerard Grunard, Francis Reed Bowl. Tim's got all the playoff scenarios ready to go. He's ready to bust them all down for you right here on Sports Radio 10. Go Sooners tonight. They're going to beat them Gators.
Boomer!
Boomer! Boomer!